Well, thank you very much, John, and good morning, everybody. Thanks for attending this presentation. Today I'm here with one of my graduate students presenting this talk, Obinna Oyana. He is a PhD student of mine. He's also the president of our student branch at Florida Tech. So I'm going to talk about this very exciting project. The title of our talk is Training Engineering Students with Building EQ, Lessons Learned Through This Process. So I'm hoping to maybe share some of that experience with the audience today. The learning objectives, that's already been covered, so I'm going to skip that slide. Acknowledgement, I would like to acknowledge Brevard Public Schools for working with us on this project, ASHRAE Building EQ Committee specifically. John Constantinity has been a tremendous help to this project. And for sure, the Florida Tech's ASHRAE student branch students, a number of the students who participated in this project are already graduated, working out in the field. So I would like to acknowledge those students who are not here today. The outlines of the talk will cover a little bit of background and introduction with regard to our school, Florida Tech, and a little bit further about our ASHRAE student branch, our activities, and so on and so forth. I will get a little bit more focused on a case study that we've done for BPS, Brevard Public School, and Obinna will join me to basically discuss that further. We will cover basically the lessons learned through the use of ASHRAE Building EQ, and then we'll finish with conclusions and future plans. All right, a little bit of background about Florida Tech and our ASHRAE branch. Florida Tech is basically approximately 60 miles far from here. Basically Florida Tech was founded in 1959 during the space race era. And the main focus of the school was aerospace program, to support the space program, basically. But now it is much larger than that. We have close to 5,000 on-campus students. Our program is, our department is Mechanical and Civil Engineering Department, which kind of uniquely positions us in terms of doing research and educational studies, basically, on building-related problems. Our department consists of mechanical engineering programs, civil engineering, construction management, and engineering management. So that kind of allowed us to collaborate with colleagues from civil, construction management, and so on and so forth, which basically helped us in terms of doing activities related to buildings and energy. I've listed a number of the activities that we are taking on and in our ASHRAE branch. We don't have a very large student branch, probably about 20 students, but we would like to take on many activities and keep the basically momentum in, between the students and make sure we make progress on a number of different activities. I've listed a few activities here. Research projects, probably, I'm not going to talk about every example, but probably the highlight of this item is the net zero energy building that we are basically working on the campus of Florida Tech. The senior design project, thanks to ASHRAE generous, basically undergraduate equipment grant, we do have a senior design project right now going on, sponsored by ASHRAE. Hosting presentations, I do that oftentimes every semester, once or twice. I do host basically presenters from engineers, distinguished lecturers, so on and so forth. We also sometimes work with our chapter, Space Coast chapter, and host some of the technical Space Coast chapters, presentation seminars in our campus. Encourage and support the students to attend conferences. I have several students with me in this conference. And of course, encourage them and support them to apply for scholarships. And then last but not the least, certainly, is the students' training and community services, which is going to be the focus of this talk, particularly the story of our collaboration with BPS. Well, now a little bit about this collaboration. Bruce provided you with some background about how it all basically began. My personal background with energy audit, I basically, as a graduate student, I did my master's and PhD back in University of Alabama, and I was fortunate to participate in a U.S. DOE-funded program, Industrial Assessment Center. Some of the audience might be familiar with the program, IACs, basically. The idea was students, along with the faculty advisor, were attending these, conducting these energy audits in industrial facilities, manufacturing plants, and perform in-depth energy audit for them, performed analysis on basically various energy systems. It was always, I always look at it as one of the highlights of my education. I learned a lot through doing these audits. Again, in an industrial facility, you look into a wide variety of systems, from steam systems, process heat systems, compressed air systems, buildings, automation, and so on and so forth. So That was always, I always thought it was a great, basically, educational experience, and I really wanted to implement this in Florida Tech when I started working as an assistant professor. So Bruce and John basically approached me around late in 2018. We started a conversation of how to basically maybe help reward public schools with energy on it. And we basically formulated a number of objectives of how do we want to proceed and basically decided how to started planning of how to proceed with this plan. So the objectives I've listed in here, of course, helping our school district and providing high-quality service to our community, providing hands-on experience for our own students, making sure they are familiar with basically energy audit process. My own basically in, field of expertise is in energy thermal systems, so I have several students working with me already on energy-related topics. Most of them did show basically interest to participate in this program. And of course, this is one way to motivate the students to basically get engaged with ASHRAE. A little bit of background and maybe motivation, why it matters, particularly K through 12 schools. Looking into the energy consumption in the United States, it's a little bit over 100 quadrillion BTU on an annual basis, which accounts for nearly 18% of world's total energy consumption. And when you look into the breakdown, of course, between residential, commercial, industrial transportation, and K through 12 schools belong under the commercial, basically, category, it's 8% out of the 18% of the commercial building. So if I look into the total value, K through 12 schools are responsible for nearly 1.44% of total energy consumption that is happening in the United States. And when I look into the breakdown, you will see this is the basically average for the nation. Of course, it looks a lot different in Florida. We don't really use a lot on heating. But again, when you look into the numbers, 125,000 K through 12 schools in the United States. They spend nearly $8 billion on an annual basis, and based on Department of Energy report, it is possible by taking some basic energy efficiency measures and basically taking some steps towards sustainability to save 20 to 20% of this energy. Looking into the Brevard County, Brevard County is basically spending nearly $12 million on an annual basis on energy, which makes it the 11th largest in the state of Florida. Now, think about that 25% saving. If they can achieve the 25% saving, you're looking at nearly $3 million of saving on an annual basis. This is probably equivalent to maybe 60, 65 teachers' salary on each year. So it's significant. There's significant potential in terms of energy saving, and that's part of the motivation to basically proceed with this project. A little bit about the logistics of the project. So after we started on this effort, we decided to begin with a pilot program. So we selected four schools initially, ended up doing basically audits for three of them. Started with five students participating in these audits. The students meet with the BPS staff. They basically came visit our campus, provided some safety guidelines, and basically get to know our students. Pretty much all of those five students, this was the first time they were getting involved in something like this, doing an energy audit process. I had a mix of graduate students and senior undergraduate students, so they already had background in thermodynamics, heat transfer, and so on and so forth. Not that that is necessary for every single type of basically assessment, but that definitely helped in terms of them having an understanding of basically energy units and so on and so forth. The students, again, we maintained regular meetings between our group at Florida Tech, and we had a couple of meetings with BPS staff to make sure we have a plan to perform the audits. The audits were all performed in April 2019, and then we basically spent summer 2019 with weekly meetings to basically do the analysis on the data that the students collected and provided the reports to BPS. Basically early in fall 2019. If I want to categorize maybe the activities that we went through for this effort, maybe I can categorize it in three groups: pre-audit, during audit, and post-audit. Pre-audit, like I said, there were basically meetings with BPS staff on basically one of the major steps that we took ahead of time, ahead of these assessments on top of the safety guidelines and so on and so forth, was to develop a questionnaire. And I always think basically that plays an essential role in terms of doing a successful energy audit. Students needed to know when they're going to visit these schools, what should they look for? And ASHRAE BEQ was a tremendous help in this regard. It's already well developed. I basically went through the ASHRAE BEQ web portal and told them, these are the data I need you to collect throughout the audit, from, of course, the bill data, all the way through basically light count, CO2 level, and so on and so forth, potential EEMs, potential opportunities for energy efficiency measures that you observe, and so on and so forth. So we did develop our own basically questionnaire with basically the help that we received from the ASHRAE Building EQ. During audit, the students had to be escorted with BPS staff, and the BPS provided us with two of their staff who escorted the students throughout the audit, basically made measurements on various aspects of the building. Bruce already talked about it. And of course, post-audit, we maintained weekly meetings during the summer 2019. And that was, I gotta be honest, that was a very time-consuming process because the students were not familiar with the topic. Even you think about bill analysis, if it is the first time you're doing bill analysis, it may not be very easy. So I had to work with them closely on a number of these basically items through, again, these weekly meetings. But they basically conducted in-depth bill analysis. We kind of took it to the next level beyond ASHRAE Level 1 audit. I wanted them to get more in-depth in terms of EEM analysis. And they basically conducted energy analysis, cost analysis on several EEMs. And we finally basically generated a report for Brevard Public Schools. Here is a look at the basically schools that they performed the energy audit for. The three schools, Middle Lane Primary, Middle Lane Intermediate, Central Middle School. Each have approximately maybe between 900 to 1,200 students located in a close proximity, very close to our Florida Tech campus, so very easy for students to commute, which was purposely basically identified by Bruce to make sure students will have no problem to commute. I asked the students, one of the steps that I went through with the students was to first, before coming up with a list of EEMs, come up with a list of best practices. Try to identify the items that the schools are already doing, and we give them credit for that. They're doing a good job. So they identified a number of items. A default set point cooling temperature of 76 Fahrenheit is in use year-round. The chillers are equipped with variable frequency drive. So again, that's another best practice. Chilled waters. Pipes are well insulated. Some of the windows are using tinted glass, which will reduce the cooling load. And the light collar of the roof of a couple of these schools were basically notable items that helped them to basically save a little bit of energy. So those are the best practices list that we provided basically for Brevard Public School. Basically, you're doing a good job with those. Then, again, the students looked into the bills. We collected bill data from BPS for basically between 2015 to 2018, 3 years' worth of bill data. This is 1 year worth of bill data plotted here for 2018. The three schools are being supplied, like Bruce mentioned, by one chiller plant. And as you can see, the chiller is the largest energy consumer. You see what you expect to see here, basically. There's a drop in June and July. That's because of basically lower activity in K-12 schools during those months. And, of course, there's a big jump in August and September. That's because that's the time that the students come back to the campus. One of the things the students need to basically learn about as first lessons was to distinguish between understanding of energy consumption and the concept of demand. So they looked into the basically energy consumption. They also looked into the demand of for these individual schools. And basically, using this data, the detailed bill data, they calculated the annual energy usage for these schools, which in total, it gets close to 4 million basically kilowatt hour on an annual basis. And they calculated an average usage rate based on the given utility structure for each of these specific schools, the usage rate, demand rate, and tax rate, and so on and so forth. We also looked into the breakdown of the endpoint energy users. Basically, we do have individual bills for each of these schools, and there is a separate bill for the chiller plant. We did not have a clear idea of what percentage of the chilled water is being used by each of these schools. There is no basically submetering or flow meter available to tell that, but these are the breakdown for the meters for each of those schools. So the idea was we collected as much as detailed data as we could, including basically counting the lights to reading the nameplates off of the air handler units and basically so on and so forth, accounting for the number of computers as part of the plug load and so on and so forth. And of course, as you expect, if you put the air conditioners, the chillers aside, that lighting is going to be one of the largest energy consumers besides the air handler units and so on and so forth. With that, the students begin looking into a number of assessment recommendations, and I think that had a lot of value in terms of basically education for these students. I'm going to let Obina talk about it and basically gives his perspective. I think it's very beneficial to hear student perspective with regard to this activity. Thank you, Obina.
Used to the old-fashioned microphones. There we go. Okay, so my name is Obina. I'm a graduate student at Florida Tech. So based on the energy end use that was shown in the previous slides, we came up with several recommendations on how to improve the energy usage by these end users. And we ended up with five recommendations and divided them into three groups. So the first group involves lighting. And she did the three recommendations there for lighting. And then we had the HVAC system recommendation and the on-site electrical energy generation using renewable energies. And for all of these five recommendations, we looked at the energy savings, the demand savings, cost savings, implementation cost, as well as the simple payback period. So for the first assessment recommendation that we came up with, we decided that it was best to replace the T8 light bulbs with LEDs. Currently at the schools, during our visits or during the audits, we saw that they were using 32-watt T8 light bulbs. And so we recommend that they switch those to energy-efficient 12-watt LEDs with the same light output, but obviously using less energy. And so we did the five assessments of the savings, and we ended up with a less than 2-year payback period in each of the three schools, that is. Our second AR, or assessment recommendation, is the installation of occupancy sensors. So while we're at the schools, we also noticed that in several of the areas, either during break time or labs, so a lot of the lights were on and there was no one in the room. So we recommend that the schools install occupancy sensors for these locations with intermediate occupancies. And we then did our assessment again, and we came up with a payback period of 4.2 for Meadow Lane Primary, 3.7 for Intermediate, and 5.7 for Central Middle. Our third AR involves the replacement of the security lights with LEDs and also the installation of photo sensors. So again, on our visits, we saw that all of the security lights outside were on, and they use 60-watt incandescent light bulbs, which are obviously a huge energy hog. So we recommend installing or replacing these with 9.5-watt LEDs and also installing photo sensors so that depending on the outdoor light level, these photo sensors can then, you know, either turn on or turn off the security lights. Based on this analysis, we see that for all of them, it just takes a couple of months to get back some of that money. So it's a very viable project. Our fourth AR is the installation of ice storage tanks. Bruce talked about them and how much he loves them. But currently, the three schools, share between them two 650-ton chillers. And obviously, that is not an ideal situation. Over here, we see the monthly demand for the year. And so we recommend installing ice storage tanks so that ice or cold water is generated in off-peak hours. And then during the on-peak hours, these ice storage tanks substitute or replace the usage of the chillers. This is beneficial because the local utility company offers a rebate plan of $600 per kilowatt hour for switching from to off-peak hours, switching the demand to off-peak hours, and then you can then have a rate schedule change to SD2TRB. So currently the schools already have some ice storage tank, ice storage plants in several of the schools, or the school system has several ice storage plants. And so based on these values, we came up with an estimate, and we see that we end up with a payback period of about 6.6 years, including the rebate structure as well as the cost savings. And so we think that this is a very viable project that the school can undertake. And finally, we recommend the installation of rooftop PV panels. So currently, the state of Florida, also known as the Sunshine State, is third in terms of potential for using rooftop PV panels. So in terms of, we get significant sunshine, but in terms of using rooftop PV panels, we're ranked third in the nation. However, we currently are 14th in terms of actually using that potential. So you see that we are underusing our potential here. And the benefits are that, you know, we then end up with a renewable energy source that has reduced carbon footprint and is also resilient to natural disasters, because here in Florida, we get a lot of hurricanes and that can affect your electricity. So we estimate that by installing rooftop PV panels, the schools can generate about 50% of their energy requirements. And we performed a simulation using DOE's system advisory model, SAM. We got these are the specifications that we used, and we ended up with about 13 years, just above 13 years payback period for all of the three schools. So over here is the summary of all our findings. We find out that if we implement all of these recommendations, we have an overall payback period of about 8.4 years for all of the schools. So during the course of this project or program, we used BEQ, and BEQ was used for two purposes for us in this project. But what is BEQ? They touched on it a little bit, but BEQ is a web portal developed by ASHRAE that facilitates a level one ASHRAE audit. It is very convenient in that it allows, you know, easy data entry, and it automatically calculates your EUI energy use intensity. It allows for in-operation and as-designed mode, so how your system is operating, you know, in the current state, as well as how it was designed to operate. These are very valuable. These can provide very valuable information, and then it generates Word documents that are easy to read. BEQ was used as an educational tool here, so we. As students, it was a really nice way to introduce us to the energy audits, introduce us to energy audits. We also, we met several times with Dr. Najafi over the summer, as was pointed out, to go about how to perform these audits. And we prepared our questionnaires for the audits using BEQ. And then one of the nice things about it, because as a university, we try to incorporate collaborative work. Once you have the username and password, and as Nate touched on earlier, you just have all of that information. It doesn't matter who's working on it. You just have it as one huge file, I guess, or folder, and no information is lost. It's also a very excellent audit tool. So like we said, we prepared our questionnaires for the audits using information from there. It's a web portal, again, so once you have Wi-Fi or username password, you can just sign in. And then it allows you to calculate your EUI so that schools can keep tabs of how they're performing as compared to other schools in the state as well as in the country. So it's a very excellent tool for that. And then it generates, like I said, it tells you how you're performing currently in operation as well as designed, so how it's supposed to run. And then it generates a level one ASHRAE report, which is pretty good. However, we identified several areas that can be improved, and we discussed these with the ASHRAE BEQ committee. Some of our recommendations have been considered, and we've, you know, been informed that they could be or will be, hopefully, incorporated in the future releases. Some of these recommendations include developing a more dynamic environment for the user, allowing more flexibility in the kinds of inputs that you can put in, as well as providing a more detailed output. So So in conclusion, we had a collaborative effort between Florida Tech's Ashery branch and Brevard Public Schools to empower the school district on how the buildings are performing, and also provide a hands-on experience for students and an opportunity to serve and give back to the community. The program was completed by 5 students, and 3 schools were analyzed, and we look forward to expanding this to look at more schools and different types of buildings. We identified significant energy savings opportunities, and we set up blueprint for how we can expand to other types of buildings. And we used ASHRAE's BEQ for this audit, and it was a very useful tool. So we identified several paths that we can take forward, like I said. Different schools will be looked at with similar design, different energy usage. We also plan on doing some research work with this if funding is available. We can look at different types of IEQ performances for schools, and we also want to incorporate BEQ into our engineering curriculum. I'd like to thank you all for your time, and at this point, we'll take questions. That's definitely Jackie. Thank you.
Yes, Bruce Hunt again. Regarding the Level 1 energy audit, and in particular the indoor environmental quality measures, for IAQ, I noticed that you took CO2 measurements, mm-hmm. But did you do any direct measurement of outside air at your outside air intakes, such as using pitot-tube, or did you use BAS system numbers, or did you just use CO2? And if you didn't do the direct measurements, how come?
Thank you for your question, Bruce. No, for this audit, we just basically simply took the one measurement in CO2 inside the classroom. So this is not basically at the intake. But yes, it is important to take it at the inlet of the air. But yes, no, we did not do it. I wasn't actually present for the energy audits. The students and BPS staff are performing the energy audit. But no, they did not.
I don't think they typically
measure. No, they don't. They do not typically do it. Yes, that's not part of what they do. Absolutely. No, I agree with you.
Bruce Lindsay, Brevard Public Schools. Obi, this question is really for you. Can you talk about the experience your students have, their first time exposure going into a central energy plant?
No, it was a really wonderful experience. I mean, we spend all this time, you know, learning, and Dr. Najafi, he teaches excellently well. We spend all this time learning all this theory, but actually going and physically seeing these plants and being able to identify the components, you know, following the flow paths, it was a really, really wonderful experience. Yeah, no, it was really good. And I know that several of my friends have gone on to work in the HVAC industry, partly because of, you know, I guess getting to see things hands-on, you know, from that experience. So
it's really good.
All right, thank you.